would have rejected all the other 11. I'm convinced of that. At least I would have said none of these are the candidates. And but Peter had some qualities that made him a right candidate. And we want to look at those right now. The first one was the raw material Peter had. He was inquisitive. He always had a desire to know and to understand. He asked more questions than all of the other apostles combined. And he had initiative. You know this. Drive and ambition. This guy was going somewhere. He had an enormous amount of energy. He's almost always the first one to answer any question that Jesus poses. And he was bold and decisive, whether right or wrong. And, you know, I think there's something to be said about that. I think maybe Jesus prefers someone charging ahead than somebody sitting back and saying, I just don't know. And, so he had initiative, and he also had involvement. He's in the middle of everything. He's not the one sitting back, letting the others do it, and saying, oh, yeah, go do that. No, Peter's right up there in the front. You remember that the only ones to follow Jesus to Caiaphas' house, the high priest, were John and Peter. After they had all forsook him and fled, those two had a change of heart and turned around and went back. And there he is. He's also the only one out of the boat, walking on water. So this is who our guy Peter is. And the second thing that qualified him really to be a wonderful Christian leader was the life experiences that he had. You probably know, as I do, that experiences can be a hard teacher. Because Peter's ups and downs were often quite dramatic and certainly painful and filled at times with defeat and humiliation. Because defeat and humiliation often follow in the Christian's life a high point, a great victory. Jesus, I think about Elijah. One minute he's on the top of Mount Carmel. Where is this courageous man the next time we find him? He's running from a woman through the desert. And complaining, saying, God just killed him. Yeah. Well, Peter suffered the harshest rebuke of any, like we said. Because one moment he is called blessed by Jesus and offered the keys to the kingdom, and the next moment Jesus is calling him Satan. That was because Peter was trying to dissuade Christ from doing the very mission that he came to this world to do. And Jesus recognized who was speaking through Peter. As usual, Peter's speaking when he should have been listening. But Peter learned. This is the important point of our message this morning. Peter learned. He learned that he needed to submit his mind and his will to the will of God. That he was vulnerable and a target of Satan. And on the very night of Jesus' arrest, Peter found out he couldn't trust his own result. Because Jesus had said, You're all gonna forsake me. And Peter looked around him and he said, yeah, there's 11 of them that will, but never me. Yeah. So it reminds me of a little statement in the Peter says, does your master pay the temple tax? Now, this wasn't one of the Roman tax collectors. This was a Jewish tax collector, because every Jewish male was to pay the temple tax one time per year of half a shekel. That supported the temple in Jerusalem. And Peter didn't quite know what to say, so he went to talk to Jesus about it. Jesus, tax collector over here, wants to know if we pay the temple tax. Now, half a shekel doesn't sound like too much, but it's 2 days of labor today. So whatever you earn in 2 days' work, that was your annual temple tax. So it was significant. And Jesus asked a question. Do the king's sons pay taxes to the king? Whose temple was it? Jesus. He was the owner of that temple. Did he need to pay a temple tax to his own temple? No. But rather than stand on what was his right, Jesus said to Peter, go fishing. Take your fishing pole. Catch that fish and bring him out. And when you bring that fish out of the water, open up his mouth, and inside you'll find the temple tax. Guess how much temple tax? Enough for two. For Jesus and Peter. And go pay. So Jesus is teaching Peter that sometimes we should submit, and even when there are some pretty good arguments for not submit. That's one. So if you have a Bible you want to follow along, I want to share with you some of the texts which show you the changes that happened in Peter. Go to 1 Peter, right near the end of the first or the second New Testament. Go to 1 Peter in the second verse or second chapter. And we'll find out who Peter became. Did Peter learn submission? 1 Peter 2, verses 13. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Well, I'm reading verse chapter 1. I'm sorry, go to chapter 2. I was wondering why I didn't quite fit. There we go, chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Peter learned submission? He certainly did. Second thing Peter needed was restraint. That's not natural for leaders, to have any high degree of restraint. Because Peter tended to be hot-headed, and he often acted and spoke before he thought. And, he was the one with the sword trying to whack off the head of the high priest's servant. Did Peter learn restraint? Look at 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23. Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Did Peter learn restraint? He absolutely did. Another thing Peter needed to learn was humility. I can identify with Peter because I have my whole life been trying to get rid of the sin of false pride. see that with a sword and a